All right, Matthew chapter 22 will be our scripture this morning. Matthew chapter 22, as we continue in the Gospel of Matthew, verses 34 to 40. Before I read the text, just want to say this, that, you know, God is the ultimate reality. You cannot escape Him. There's nothing more important than having a right relationship with God, knowing God, and pleasing God. And He has revealed His will in the Scriptures. There's hundreds of commandments. And someone came to Jesus and asked Him one day, which are the greatest commandments? And in this text of Scripture, Jesus answers that question. Now, if I'm preaching this morning about the greatest commandments, then this message is pretty important because it deals with something that's very important. The two greatest commandments of the Old Testament. Now, I want you to follow along in the Scripture as I read, beginning in verse 34. But when the Pharisees heard that He had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked Him a question, testing Him and saying, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank You that Jesus revealed to us what are the greatest commandments. And we pray, Lord, that as we contemplate these commandments, that You will give us understanding and insight and help us to make these very important in our lives. Help me as I preach and help each one as they listen this morning. And I pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to note the context that Jesus spoke these words in. We read about the fact that while Jesus was teaching in the temple one day, the Herodians came up to Him and asked a question. It was a political question with religious implications, and they were hoping to trap Jesus and have something to accuse Him with. But instead, Jesus wisely answered their question. And then the Sadducees put forth a question trying to show that the doctrine of the resurrection is really ridiculous. And once again, Jesus wisely showed and demonstrated that the doctrine of life after death is indeed true to Scripture. Well, then the Pharisees decided to take their shot at Jesus, try to get Him to trip up on a theological question. And we read of that question in our text this morning. "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Now, why would they ask such a question as this? Well, they wanted, once again, to try to trap Jesus, to try to come up with some way to accuse Jesus. It was asked by a lawyer, and not as we think of, but an expert in the Jewish law of Moses. And perhaps they were hoping that He would say something like, "Well, you know, no commandment is as important as the commandments that I give unto you," hoping to accuse Him. Or perhaps He would give an answer of some lesser commandment in the eyes of the Jewish people. After all, they had been discussing this question for centuries among the experts of the law. In fact, they had identified 613 commandments in the Old Testament. One for every letter of the Ten Commandments. And they had identified 248 positive commandments of the law and 365 negative commandments of the law. Imagine that. There's a negative commandment for every day of the year. And they had begun to classify some as really important and some as less important. Would Jesus say that some lesser commandment is actually the greatest commandment? Would they have some opportunity to accuse Jesus? Well, Jesus answered their question perhaps not as they expected. Not the one from one of the Ten Commandments. Instead, he quoted from a very familiar passage in Deuteronomy, first of all. The Shema, which was quoted by every Jew every day. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it, Leviticus. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And so this morning we're going to look at the two commandments that Jesus identified as the greatest of the commandments. And so which are they? Well, first of all, love God with all of your being. Verse 37, he quotes from Deuteronomy, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your mind." That's the greatest commandment. And the question is, are you obeying that greatest of the commandments with any consistency in your life? Do you love God above everyone else? Do you love God above everything in your life? Let's think about the meaning of this commandment. The meaning of this commandment to love. Because love can be kind of an abstract concept. And so I want to help you understand exactly what this commandment means. And one thing it means is that you should choose to love God. You know, it's a commandment. Therefore, it is something we obey. It is something we must choose to do. There may be times you don't feel like loving God. You don't emotionally have that attachment to God. But nevertheless, we are commanded to love God and we must choose to love God and express our love to God each and every day. And the key to understanding what it means to love God is found in those three phrases, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your mind. And so to love God also means to give your heart to Him. To give your heart to Him. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life." And so to love God with all of your heart means that you give your heart, you give your life completely to the Lord. God, I surrender to you today. I give you my heart. That's part of what it means to love God with all of your heart. Now that's what happens, or should be happening, when a wedding takes place. About 43 years ago, Cheryl and I began this dating relationship and got to know each other, and I'm sure I was the first to tell her, "I love you." And then at some point, she said, "Well, I love you." And that was nice to hear. That was nice to hear. But you know, when she ultimately demonstrated her love for me, and that was on the day we got married. The day that, yes, she came down the aisle. She actually came down the aisle and said the I wills and I do's, and she gave herself completely to me. She gave her heart to me. She gave her life to me. That was a committed kind of love. And that is what took place this morning when these two young men said to God in baptism, I give my life to you. I surrender my life to you. They expressed through baptism publicly their love and acceptance of God. And when you love God, you not only express it in such ways, but you also obey God. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you love God, you will serve Him. We give God our love above everyone and everything in our lives. Have you given your heart to Him? But have you given your affection to Him? Yes, the soul is the seat of our affections as well. Because Jesus said in Matthew 26, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful. And so when we love God, we also love God with our affections. We love God emotionally. You know, how do you express your love to God? Affectionately? You know, you can't just reach out and hug God. He's a spirit. But one way you can express your love to God is by saying, I love you. Tell God you love Him. When was the last time you actually told God, I love you? Was it in this morning's prayer time? Was it yesterday? Was it a long time ago? We are to give our affection to Him, but furthermore, we are to show our love for God with our mind. Jesus said, quoting that scripture, we are to love God with all of our mind. With all of our mind. Yes, that's one way we show our love for someone, is by giving our mind to them. By giving them focused attention. When you're really in love with someone, you think of them often. And when we love God with all of our mind, it includes the fact that we think of God often. Our mind is on Him often. There is not a day that goes by that you do not think of God and put your focused attention on God. You know, many of us have a practice of daily Bible reading and prayer. We're loving God with our mind when we read His Word, when we focus upon Him in our prayer. We love God with our mind when we gather with other believers for worship because our mind is on the Lord. We're thinking about what we're singing unto the Lord. We are hearing the Word of God from the man of God. You're loving God with your mind. But let's be honest for a moment. Have you ever been sitting in church and you realize you've zoned out? You know, your mind is somewhere else, folks. That never happens when I preach, right? but really, when you worship God with your mind, when you express your love to God with your mind, it does include keeping our mind on the Lord in our times of worship. And you know what? There's a positive benefit for keeping your mind on God. In Isaiah 26 and verse 3, it says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And you know, if your mind is on yourself, if your mind is on your circumstances, if your mind is on your problems, you're going to have worry, you're going to have fear. But when your mind is on the Lord, you're going to have His peace. Yes, we are to love God with our mind. We are to love God with our heart and our affections. Barbara Woodhouse wrote a best-selling book entitled No Bad Dogs. And she observes about the fact that, you know, dogs are very loving, aren't they? I mean, you come home and they're so happy to see you. They always come and greet you and they, you know, will lick your face if you get down close enough. And, you know, they're so excited that they love you. Dogs are so great about that. And they love you unconditionally. But she said, do you know how you can know if your dog really loves you? If your dog thinks that you're all to them, it's this. You leave the door open, perhaps by mistake or for some other reason. And have you ever had a dog just to bolt and to go off for several hours until you chase them down and to bring them home? Well, my dog was like that, especially at first when we got the dog for the first year or two, if not a little bit more. But you know what I've observed over the last several years? There have been several times that door has been left open. The dog stays right with us. She says that's one way you know a dog really loves you, when they have the opportunity to leave you, but they stay instead. And the question is, how much do you love God? Well, one answer is this. When the opportunity is given to stray from God, do you stray or do you stay with God? Yes, we are to love God with all of our hearts, with our affections, with our mind. And note the extent of this love. Three times, with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. Listen, we are to give wholehearted and complete love to God because God has loved us that way. God holds nothing back in His love for us. He loves you so much that He even sent His Son from heaven on a mission to save you from your sins. He loves you so much that Jesus Christ even went to the cross and died a horrible death to save you from your sins. And Jesus says, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Yes, God loves us completely, not holding back at all. And even so, we are not to hold back on our love for God. Love God completely. But notice also the means of having such love. You know, we by nature, especially fallen sinful beings that we are, our love is mainly to ourself. How can we have complete love and devotion to God? How can we transfer ourselves from the center of our universe to make God the center of our universe? Well, one way is by contemplating how much God loves us. Romans 5:8 says, God demonstrates His love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God loved us unconditionally, even though we were sinners. And so as we contemplate the love of God for us, we will be more able and likely to respond with love to God. 1 John 4:19 says, we love Him because He first loved us. And Romans 5:5 tells us how it's possible for us to love God and love others, and it's by the aid of the Holy Spirit. Romans 5:5 says that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. When you're saved and indwelt by the Holy Spirit, you have a much greater capacity to love God and to love others. And so the only way you can really obey this commandment is to be saved and to have the Holy Spirit in your heart and to contemplate how much God loves you. And so that's the greatest commandment, to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your mind. And the second is this, to love others as yourself. Love others as yourself. Listen, you cannot divorce love of God from love of your neighbor. The two must go together, or you don't love God. In 1 John 4:20 it says, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar, for he who doth not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? Somebody says, well, that's the problem. I've seen my neighbor. I've seen my brother. That's why I have a hard time loving him. Well, listen, that betrays the fact that you don't understand what real love is. God loved us when we were sinners, when we were enemies. And so we are to love our fellow man. Once again, think about what it really means to love your neighbor as yourself. And we start with, who is my neighbor? Someone asked Jesus that question, and he told the story of the good Samaritan. Samaritans that were despised had an unfriendly relationship between the Samaritans and the Jews, and yet when a Samaritan saw a Jew in need, he didn't even know him. Nevertheless, he showed love for him. Your neighbor is anyone that God brings into your life. Whether it is a physical neighbor, whether it's someone that you meet at the grocery store, or wherever, whoever you come in contact is your neighbor, and you are to love that person. And Jesus took it a step further, not only to love your neighbors, but he said in Matthew 5, love your enemies. Love your enemies. Too bad the Pharisees didn't give heed to this second greatest commandment, because instead of loving Jesus, they were plotting His death. But think of the extent of this love we are to have for our neighbor. We are to love them as yourself. Now, we all love ourselves. We all take care of ourselves, don't we? Ephesians 5:29 says, no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it. And so the standard of our love for our neighbor is as high as our love for ourselves. And so what concerns our neighbor should concern us. When our neighbors have needs, just as we would feed ourselves, so we are to feed our neighbors. Just as we would seek comfort for ourselves, even so we are to offer a comfort to our neighbors. We are to live this out by living by the golden rule of Jesus. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. If someone is sick or hurt, then love says, I will help you in your sickness. What can I do for you? If someone is grieving, you will seek to comfort them. And so we are to love our neighbors as ourselves. And note the means of this love. And it's seen in the order. The greatest commandment is to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself. And I can say this, until you love God like you ought to, you're not going to love your neighbor like you ought to. It's that love relationship with God that provides the foundation for our ability to love others. After all, God is love. And when you're born of God, you inherit His nature and you become more loving. We must love God in order to love our neighbor as ourselves. And so are you obeying these, the two greatest commandments? Well, the fact that they are the greatest commandments in the Old Testament demonstrates that we should make love a priority. Both commandments dealt with the subject of love. And so love must become a priority in our Christian lives and in our personal lives. Too often we major on other things, but Jesus says love is what we're to major on in our relationship with God and with others. And why is it? Why should love be a priority? Jesus gives two reasons. First of all, because Jesus said, these are the greatest commandments. These are the greatest commandments, he says. You know, again, he could have picked the first two of the Ten Commandments as the greatest commandments. But no, he picked this as the greatest commandment, to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and strength. And Jesus said in John 13:35, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, by your love for one another. Jesus says the mark of discipleship is love. Now he could have said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, by the righteous life that you live, or by the fact that you worship. But you know what? We can imitate those behaviors. We can outwardly act out those behaviors. But real, genuine love is something you can imitate. And that is the real mark of discipleship. Gloria was ready to take her life after years of drug abuse, of failed relationships, and repeated rejections. She had had enough. She had saved up prescription drugs and she was going to take a mouthful of those things and end her life. Yet lest the process of this death utter sounds that might be heard by her neighbors, she turned on the television to drown out any unpleasant noises. And guess what was on the television when she turned on the television? It was the Billy Graham crusade. And she started hearing a little bit of it. And there was a number on the bottom of the screen. Call, if you need help, call this number. And she called that number. And the counselor at the Billy Graham headquarters wisely understood that she was suicidal and urged her and counseled her to go to church. This was Saturday. Sunday was the next day, and gave her the name of a church that was near her home, a Wesleyan church. And she decided not to take her life that day, but to go to church the next morning. She got to the church, and guess who? One of the first persons she met was the pastor. She said to the pastor, Billy Graham sent me here. And she proceeded to worship with those folks. She gave her heart to the Lord, and afterwards she explained why. She said, Billy Graham saved my life, but this church showed me how I could have eternal life, how my sins could be forgiven. This church welcomed me and showed love to me, and I saw the love of Jesus in their faces. And it opened my ears and my heart to what they had to say. And so she was saved. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, by your love one another. If we fail in any area of our Christian lives, if we fail in any area in our church life, let us not fail in what's most important, and that is to love God and to love our neighbor as ourselves. But we are to make these the priority of our lives also, because Jesus says these two commandments uphold all scriptures. Verse 40. Verse 40, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. These two commandments are the foundation for all of the commandments. It's as if these are the peg on which all the laws and the teachings of the prophets hang. Remove the peg and it all comes crashing down. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 13:10, love does your neighbor no harm, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. And so if you obey these two greatest commandments, everything else will tend to fall into place. All the other commandments are simply expansions and applications of these two greatest commandments. You know, Christianity is not complicated. You don't have to be an expert in the law in order to understand what it's really all about. It is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, to love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments, they all hang on those two commandments. And so the question is, do you love God? Do you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Do you love your neighbor as yourselves? Are you making love a priority of your Christian and personal life? See, the Pharisees asked this question. And what was it about the Pharisees? They believed that you earn eternal life by keeping the law. But guess what? No one loves God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind. No one consistently loves their neighbor as yourself. If you're going to be saved by keeping the law, you've already flunked the two greatest commandments, I can assure you. You can't be saved that way. I'll tell you how you can be saved. It's very simple. Repent of your sin. Have a thorough change of mind. A reorientation of your life from self and sin to God, and to place your faith in Jesus Christ who died for your sins on the cross. What love. There may be some that need to make that commitment this morning. And you need to make it public, folks. Surrender your heart to the Lord. And when we sing in just a moment, we invite you to do that. Most of us are already saved Christians, we're hopefully growing in our faith. And this is one area where we especially need to grow. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 1:9, I pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. Will you make a commitment to make love for God and love for others a priority in your Christian life? Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we extend the invitation to respond to the truth of your word, I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will work in hearts, that you'll save souls, that you will help believers to accept this priority of love. And I pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.